SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Today, Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia, plenty of Super Bowl preview coming up. Dr. David Chow, as always, joins us to give us the latest on injuries. He's coming up in about 15 minutes from now, so make sure you stay right here on the grid. I'm Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia. Follow us on Twitter at SportsGrid. I'm Craig Mish on Twitter. That's my name. Joe Pizzapia has a 17 at the end of his name. Why do you have a 17 at the end of your name? I don't know if I've ever asked you that.
It's a great question. All these years, and we've never had that conversation. Two words.
Yes, true.
Keith Hernandez. That's right. My favorite player growing up, number 17, Keith Hernandez, a number I wore all through playing baseball in my illustrious career in my youth. Yeah, but no, Keith Hernandez was always my guy. And there was already another Joe Pizzapia, if you can believe it. Oh. He's the guitar player.
Have you tried to contact the band him? Custer.
I have. Nothing. He won't give me the time of day. He won't give me anything. I don't even know he's on Twitter hardly ever. But yeah, he was the guitar player from the band Custer in the 90s. In case you're a big music nerd. But yeah, I mean, he's, won't talk to me. And the funny part was, we're definitely related. I look at this guy and I'm seeing the pictures of this guy and he looks exactly like my grandfather on my father's side. There is absolutely no way he is not a Pizzapia that we are related. And I want to say, come on, cuz, let's do this. Let's have a little trade-off. But no, I don't know. Maybe I should change it. Maybe if it's time.
Does anybody have Pizzapia? Does anybody have that?
No, but it's too formal. I don't go by it. When I look at Joseph, when I hear that, I think I'm in trouble. Like, I'm waiting for my grandmother to turn around and she's like going for the wooden spoon.
I wish I would have known that for the last 2 years. I could have gone with that. Joseph?
No.
All right. Headlines here. We have a little bit of baseball news to get to. The Angels make it official. They acquire Alex Cobb from Baltimore. Jared Goff yesterday spoke to a publication saying that wanting to move on was sort of mutual there, kind of didn't understand why he fell out of favor so quickly. Luca, Trey Young square off tonight. Atlanta, Dallas should be a good game. 10 games on the board for tonight. Louisville and Syracuse unfortunately postponed tonight. I'll be watching LSU, Alabama, and also I got South Carolina, Florida. Gators are back in the top 25 headed toward the NCAA tournament yet again. So that's good news there. Also in baseball, Chris Archer, Joe, ends up signing back with the place that he had his most in Tampa Bay. Now, let's get real here for a second. Archer is coming off thoracic outlet surgery, and there is not a lot of fantastic track record for players to come back from that and succeed. We're hoping, clearly, that Archer is that guy, but the Rays don't seem to be pretty afraid of that because it's not like he got a one-year, $1 million deal, Joe. The reports are that he got over $6 million. That's cheap for a starting pitcher, but that kind of leads me to believe that he must have thrown for them and they like what they saw. But for 2 or 3 years, he was a guy in fantasy circles. If you had as your, let's say, number two starter in fantasy out of your top five in a 12-team league, you were very happy with him. Probably going to be a little too risky for me, but I won't count out Tampa Bay. They always seem to know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do. And he's going home again, which is a nice story. But I got to be honest here. Last year going into the season, I was actually very much on Chris Archer. Cheap strikeouts. That's it. I figured he would get traded from Pittsburgh at some point in time. And then this is obviously back in January, February, before all the COVID situation changed the landscape. But thoracic outlet syndrome and that surgery that goes wrong with it has not been kind. Noah Lowry, very good young pitcher, did not ever return to form. Matt Harvey had it. Never returned to form. Another guy, Jaime Garcia, which is a little blast from the past, Craig. You remember Jaime Garcia with the Cardinals? He had some really good seasons for a few years, had this, and that was it. And it's weird because it seems like I don't want to be like ignorant here, but I am on this show pretty much every day, and I think people have learned that already. But why is it only pitchers that seem to be dealing with this? Have you noticed that? Like, it seems to be a pitcher-related thing. Like, all the guys that I was looking at when I said baseball players, they were all pitchers. So I'm not sure what that is or if it has something to do. Like, I'm just curious, like, if you could maybe speak to that. Yeah. But it's certainly not a good window in terms of success coming back from that, which is really unfortunate because Chris Archer seems like a great guy and has had a pretty good major league career, and he still should be in his prime, basically. But, I mean, I would not hold my breath, and I would not be even adding late shares of him just because. I mean, I know it's Tampa and people like to do that, but, I mean, the results have not been favorable.
Yeah, my guess is that there was a thoracic outlet surgery 30 years ago that we didn't hear of, and there was Tommy John 40 years ago, too. It's just that they have a new name for it, which essentially is a shoulder surgery. I mean, that's, you know, kind of what it is. It's just a more serious form, and I suppose they didn't have the terminology for it going back 20, 30 years, but the track record is there. And listen, even Matt Harvey coming off that surgery, if I'm not mistaken, the Mets did either pay him in arbitration or free agency $4 or $5 million to come back from that.
Yeah, so, they did. But you know what? Yeah. We've had position players. I mean, Luis Gonzalez, Miguel Sano have Tommy John surgery. Like, we've had position players have it, but why not this one? Why is it only pitchers in this one, which I thought was just odd?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but maybe it's something that we'll investigate for a future show. No doubt about that. All right, coming up next, speaking of injuries, Dr. David Chow will be with us. You can follow him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. He's got some really good information as far as the offensive lines for both teams. So we'll talk about the healthiness of both Kansas City and Tampa for the game coming up this Sunday. And then after that, it's time for our weekly visit into sports cards. Josh Cohen from PCSportsCards.com is going to join us. Normally, of course, he's here on our Tuesday show, but because of all of the snow in New York, we gave him a day off, so he'll be with us today. Also, I'll have my card of the week as well, which is actually a pretty good one, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Then we'll do fantasy or reality. That'll do it for our show here. So stick around. Dr. Chow joins us next, and we talk about injuries coming up for the Super Bowl. Also, Antonio Brown, by the way, there is a report that he did practice today for the Bucs heading into the Super Bowl on Sunday, so that is good news for him as well. We'll be right back with more fantasy sports today. Make sure you stay on the grid. We're back in just 2 minutes with the injury report. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Super Bowl week, and of course, what would the Super Bowl be without a preview of the injuries and the issues going on in the big game coming up this Sunday in Tampa Bay? Joining us, as he always does throughout the football season, is Dr. David Chow at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. Catch his columns over on OutKick as well as his podcast, as he breaks it down like nobody else. Dr. Chow, happy Super Bowl week to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Kind of a strange Super Bowl week. The last 5 or 6 years I've been, you know, Radio Row, in person, down there. Now this pandemic, kind of, you know, still in San Diego.
Yeah, let me tell you, some of my favorite moments were here in Miami and in Tampa and Atlanta, doing all of the Radio Rows, and certainly I wonder how that will change in the future too, with that not happening this year. So, Dr. Chow, so I think if my understanding is correct, the teams are going to be arriving in Tampa Bay. Well, the Bucs are already there. So it's Kansas City arriving in Tampa Bay. Is it only 2 days before this year? I know it's usually the Sunday before the Super Bowl. Like, they have a week usually, and then all the media days. So when do you know when exactly that is this year?
I believe the Chiefs are arriving on Friday, and the Bucs, even though they're at home, I would expect will end up holding up at the team hotel for sure on Saturday and probably by Friday as well. As part of an effort to keep them away and keep them focused on the game and on lockdown, because at this point, if anyone tests positive for COVID, period, done. They are out for the Super Bowl, and no one wants that to happen.
No, for sure. And we heard on Monday about a couple of players through contact tracing on the Kansas City Chiefs. Any concern there?
Well, contact tracing, as long as they don't test positive, it's 5 day out. So if it was Monday, then they should clear in time for the Super Bowl, but they probably have to fly on separate planes from the team down to Tampa if it really is on Friday. And that obviously can be arranged. And it does seem like the close contact did not come from another player or a staff member or coach. It came from a barber. It's unclear whether the barber was in the facility, which is possible. Teams, you know, in the past have brought barbers in the facility, and you can name five people to bring into the facility. And perhaps they felt, you know, the players with the barber made sense because otherwise they'd go on their own to get it elsewhere. And that barber would be tested. And if that barber tests positive, then they do contact tracing like anything else. So, yeah, it's it seems to be been from a barber.
Very fascinating there. Dr. David Chow with us, as always. So, so injury-wise, there was one key injury, of course, on the side of the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. But beyond that, I know, Dr. Chow, you had mentioned throughout this process that of all the teams that started up the playoffs, maybe the Chiefs were the most banged up. Do you think that this extra week has put them on more of the healthy spot? And on the Tampa Bay side also, we can dive into them and what you see there.
Well, you know, what's unusual about this Super Bowl, the last five or six where I've been to Radio Row, there haven't been a lot of injuries to talk about. And it makes sense. The healthier teams typically move on. And it's not that the Bucs and the Chiefs are not healthy. They are healthy compared to the Eagles and the 49ers and the Cowboys. But compared to the Packers and the Bills, who they beat, they are a little less healthy. And the Chiefs still have concern. Yes, Patrick Mahomes says his toe is nearly 100%. I'm not sure that I buy that, but, you know, 85% Patrick Mahomes, still pretty good. He'll get it shot up, the carbon fiber plate, he'll play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will get healthier. He probably can return to being the closest, the same back. Le'Veon Bell is questionable. Sammy Watkins is getting healthier with his calf. But the big issue for the Chiefs isn't Willie Gay on the defense, who had an e-scope for a meniscus tear, and he's out for the Super Bowl. It's Eric Fisher, who you just mentioned. He tore his Achilles. And a lot of people have now said in media that the Chiefs don't have either tackle, starting tackle. It goes deeper than that. If you go left to right, they're on a second string left tackle, a second string left guard, a starting center. The backup center is in the COVID close contact, a third string right guard, and a third string right tackle. And here's what happened. With the Eric Fisher loss, Mike Remmers, who was backing up Mitchell Schwartz, who was out since week six with a back, now flips to left tackle. So you have a new left tackle. And then the right guard, Andrew Wiley, who was playing in place of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who opted out for COVID at the beginning of the year, slides to right tackle. And the right guard is now Stefan Wisniewski, long NFL career, a really good player, but at the end of his career now. And he was released by the Steelers in November and picked up by the Chiefs. So that's why, you know, it's LDT, Wiley, now Wisniewski. At right tackle, it was Mitchell Schwartz, Mike Remmers, now Andrew Wiley. And so the one Eric Fisher injury shuffled three positions. And, of course, left guard Kelechi Osemele has been out since the beginning of the season. And so, really, it's Austin Reeder, the center, that's the only consistency so far there right now from projected starters from the beginning of the season. So that's something to watch out for, especially with JPP and Shaq Barrett and a healthier Vita Vea.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow, that's a lot to unpack there with the offensive line. And you know, of course, follow Dr. David Chow on Twitter at ProFootballDoc and his website, ProFootballDoc.com, breaking down all the positions. On the Tampa Bay side, Antonio Brown is the one name that we haven't heard in a couple of weeks in terms of playing. Kind of a shame there. Would have been a really fun story there. Beyond Brown, any other key injuries for Tampa Bay?
Well, you know, the key injuries to Tampa Bay besides Brown, the question is, you know, are they going to play Scotty Miller in the slot, insert right. Antonio Brown, his knee? He's trending towards playing, but it's the safeties that are the concern. Vita Vea came back and played pretty nicely, limited snaps, but will get stronger. And but the safeties, Antoine Winfield Jr. with his ankle missed. He was close to playing. I think he'll make it. Jordan Whitehead is the big one. They've set his shoulder. There's some media word of labrum, but by video, I think he tore his left pec. And that's normally something that needs surgery. If not for the Super Bowl, I think his season would be over. I have the suspicion that the Bucs and Whitehead are seeing if he can play in the Super Bowl with a torn pec. Look, he's still going to be able to run in coverage at free safety. They're still going to be able to defense passes, knockdown passes. He still will be able to tackle, but maybe not wrap up with his left arm. He can shoulder people. So I think that's the big one and the big question mark for Tampa at this point in time. The two safeties, but especially the free safety.
So I guess the question for you, Dr. Chow, is that through 17 weeks of the NFL season, you're in your war room and you're watching all the games, and then the playoff comes, and then you're still doing that, but more on an individual game basis. With you not being at the Super Bowl this year, Dr. Chow, how are you going to watch the game coming up this Sunday?
Well, you know, we got a reasonable plan B. Once it goes down to one game, I'm able to watch it at home and freeze frame and rewind, and the staff is remote. It's when there's multiple games that we're in that war room. But this, I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas, a couple of different events and whatever. I figured, you know, we're going to be safe and socially distant, but a couple little things going on there, and it's a good place to watch. Believe it or not, I don't love being in person at the Super Bowl for this reason. The NFL is very kind. They've given me a press media pass, a quote, a free ticket to the game, and they feed you. It's great. The problem is I don't get replay. Like, I can't freeze frame and replay. I have to see it either on the field in live time or the TV screen in the press box. And of course, I bring binoculars. The advantage of watching at the game is I can scan the sidelines when the TV's going back to the field to see what trainers and doctors are doing. And so that's the upside. The downside is I don't have replay when I do that. And so, you know, this year I didn't even apply to go to Tampa. And I just didn't think it would be worth it.
I'm with you here. Yeah. For me, I've been to many Super Bowls as well. I've always felt the week leading up is always the most fun. The game itself, as I get older, Dr. Chow, you know, waiting an hour to get in and walking through the lines and waiting for the bus, you know, I guess I'm blessed. And of course, so are you, covered the NFL for so many years. All right, Dr. Chow, we'll enjoy the game coming up on Sunday. Thank you once again all season long for coming on with us and breaking it all down. And we'll follow you on Twitter at ProFootballDoc and catch your injury reports over on ProFootballDoc.com. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. David Chow, as always, with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll take a quick timeout. And more to come right here on the show. Our Super Bowl week of shows and props continue, so make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Make sure you stay right there. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid on this Super Bowl week. We have a very, very fun segment here with Josh Cohen from PCSportsCards.com. Josh is going to tell us the key cards from the key players in the Super Bowl. Of course, Saturday night is the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction. I'm ready to go. I got my two Peyton Manning rookie cards. I got them back from Josh. He's sending me all these cards. I don't even know what to do. I got to figure it out. I'm so busy here putting them all in nice sleeves and protecting them. I'm just so geeked out. Great to see you again, Josh. How is your week going so far?
Week is going really good so far, Craig. Thank you for having me. My cell phone's ringing, so that's really fun. Great. Yeah. Craig went like 6 weeks of just – Josh, when am I getting an order back? Josh, when am I getting an order back? Josh, when am I getting an order back? Then all of a sudden it's, can you slow down the orders? They're coming back fast. I don't know what to do with these cards.
I did get a lot. I got almost 200 over the past couple of weeks here, but we're going to get into that as well. I got one special card to show you guys at the end. But most importantly, you guys want to watch Josh because you want to know what to invest in, what to collect, and that's why we bring him here on the show. In the NFL, Josh, you've made it perfectly clear. There are some nice opportunities to buy and collect players that are not quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks are the ones that move the needle. And the two biggest in the game, no doubt financially, Tom Brady of the Buccaneers, Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. I know you personally have a very big Tom Brady card, but the Patrick Mahomes cards, every one of his big rookies are also big, and the guy's only been in the league a few years.
To see the last 2 weeks in sports cards have been absolutely out of control. Brady, everything's doubling in value. Mahomes, doubling in value. Get away from the Super Bowl. I know that's what we want to talk about a lot today. Jordan, insane. Magic Bird, insane. Kobe, insane. Duncan, insane. Trout is setting records for his cards. The card market is absolutely ridiculously on fire right now. Something we've never, ever seen, at least in the last 20 years. Right?
And what's the key Mahomes? I know the Brady card is that you've showed it before. We can show it again here. It's the 2000 series Bowman. He's got some rookie cards and sweatpants too, I know. But yeah. but the Mahomes, like, basic rookie prism, silver prism card. Show us that and tell us what that kind of weighs in terms of money.
Sure. The 2017 prism Mahomes silver rookie. And in 2017, there were only silvers. There weren't any base rookies. Weird year for the product. That's his key card. And it's going for about $14,000 to $15,000 as a PSA 10 right now. For a little bit of comparison's sake, last year after the Super Bowl, it was about $1,300. And actually, I don't know if I told you this yet, Craig, but I look back to October of 2017 when the product was released, and I was buying this card. This is not a joke. I was buying this card ungraded for $2.
Are you serious?
$2.
$2 to $13,000. Yeah, it just shows you that. I mean, it's hard to believe that this could continue with the card market, especially on the what we would call the ultra modern side. I know that when you send your cards to get graded to PSA, they have them all categorized. And I know that ultra is now considered like 2018 through 2021. Josh, I can't imagine that the last 5 years of cards, with the amount of cards that are out there and being sent into grade, can continue at this rise. But I guess there's no stopping the train. It's got to stop at some point, no?
So I think what we're actually seeing right now is a little bit of a pullback in ultra modern, because there is so much of it and so much is getting graded. We're seeing a pullback in people taking profits and saying, why am I spending $800 on this when there's 15,000 of them?
Yeah.
When I could spend $3,000 on a Hall of Famer where there's only 2,000 of them. So we're seeing that trend pick up a lot. We're seeing, even I know we've talked in the past about 1983 Tops, Tony Gwynn, his PSA 10 was $750 forever, and one just traded at $3,800. So we're seeing that trend across the board, and not only in the PSA 10 grade, down the line also we're seeing them all grow. Back to the Mahomes Silver for 1 second.
Yeah.
I want to say one key thing about it. It's not an easy card to grade. A lot of the ultra modern cards grade at like 60 to 70 to even 80% or higher when we look at Topps Chrome, even as a PSA 10. There's a printing defect that's very common with this card, and it's only 25% of PSA 10. There's not that many. There's 800 out of 3,400 graded. So 800, there's a lot, but it's a desirable card that's tough to grade. So that's why you see the explosive growth in that card specifically.
Interesting stuff. And as we mentioned with Tom Brady, 2000 Bowman and has
2000
a lot.
Bowman Chrome. Yeah. 2000 Bowman and Bowman Chrome are the key cards. Again, his PSA 10 is up to about $20,000 to $22,000 right now. They were as high as 25,000 when he won and made it into the AFC championship, into the Super Bowl. I mean, Brady to me is a lot of the Brady market isn't only them making the Super Bowl, right? We know what Brady's career was. A lot of what I see from Brady is that we're seeing this meteoric rise in Jordan and Magic and Bird. And when I say meteoric, I mean like cards that were $25,000 or $30,000 last year for Jordan, his Fleer PSA 10 rookie, is now $750,000. Like meteoric, right?
Yeah, I'm seeing it too. Yeah.
And they're saying, well, if it's Jordan and Magic and if it's Kobe in football, it's Brady, right? So there's that move to greatness. Right. So there's that move to greatness. And that's why I think that's a big key to why Brady's going to go up across the board.
Yeah. And Saturday night, Peyton Manning will get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's not at the Brady level, but he's right up there. They played against each other so often. I would expect to see that go up as well, too. I mean, every event, Josh, every event that happens, the cards go up without even anything happening. And this is what I wanted to bring this up. Matthew Stafford got traded, his cards went up to like $50 in the base. Nolan Arenado just got traded to the St. Louis Cardinals in the last 48 hours. What about him? Like, all of a sudden, are his cards going up too?
His update was $140 to $150, which his Topps update from 2013 is his key rookie card. And that went from $140 to $250 overnight, going just a trade, right? Just a trade from Colorado to the St. Louis market.
Yeah, and it shows you that both players are in better spots. One, you know, Stafford goes from Detroit to L.A. Arenado goes from a very fan-friendly and popular and passionate fan base to St. Louis. Okay, so before we go here, Josh, I want to do my card here, and then we'll get a prediction from you. As I mentioned, Josh sends more cards to PSA, Professional Sports Authenticator, than anybody else in the country. You can go to his website, pcsportscards.com. He does what's called group submissions, so instead of sending the cards directly to the company, you send them to Josh and his team. They send them in, and even at a better price than PSA as well. And I sent in too many cards to the point where it's I have to like hide it from my wife. But the point is that in the last submission where I got back almost 200 cards of different submissions of three or four, I got back this LeBron James 2008 Topps rookie card. It's simply a base card where it's iconic because you see him blowing the chalk up in the air. That 2008 Topps, Josh. I got Durant back in a 10 too, but I have a feeling that set is going to continue to rise. Just beautiful photography on those cards.
Yeah.
So good on that, and then so poor on 2009 with just the face of Curry and the face of Harden. It's just so silly, but I love that card right there.
Yeah, it's a great card. I mean, we've seen that card explode in value. I think the Kobe's now $3,000 from that set as a PSA 10 in the Topps Chrome. Like that again, what you said, totally agree. The photography, if you compare it to baseball, is like Stadium Club. It's just great photography. Forget about anything else.
Yeah. So that's a great year for those of you who are looking to get in on even the base cards of that. I have Dwayne Wade and Carmelo Anthony, Garnett Kidd. I've sent in those cards to Josh for him to submit for me, and then eventually I get them back and then bring them to you guys and show you here on the show. All right, Josh. Well, listen, every guest that comes on the show this week gets to make their Super Bowl prediction. And you being a huge NFL fan, I would expect no different. Give me your winner this week. Let's also, because again, we're here on Sports Grid, we're dealing with the spread. So we got Kansas City, some spots 3.5, but on FanDuel, we're seeing mostly 3. Kansas City -3 against Tampa Bay. Give me your Super Bowl pick.
I'm going to go with Kansas City definitely covering, and they're going to go behind early like they've done in the last 7 or 8 key playoff games. And then just take over in the second half. Mahomes is just going to take over.
And then what will happen when we come back next week with Mahomes' car, his sports card? How much money will that go up next week if that happens? Do you anticipate the winner of this game going up even more? We saw when LeBron won the championship, it went down.
And last year when Mahomes won, it went down. My heart is saying it's going to go up, but my head is saying it's going to go down. So I'm taking both sides of that question.
That was great. That was really that's perfect for Sports Grid. We just hedge. We just take both sides, and then we pick one. Well, listen, Josh. Again, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And for those people again who are familiar with you, also Josh, you do consignment as well, right? On your sports cards, if people send the cards in and eventually they want to get them consigned, you're one of the few, I think you're the only company in the country that does that, where you get the cards graded, and then eventually, if you choose, you can get them consigned as well, correct?
We are the only people that do that. Yep, we could sell your cards for you and send you money after they sell. We sell them via eBay auctions.
Okay,
PC perfect. _ sports cards on eBay.
Oh, there you go. PC _ sports card for Josh Cohen. And you can, of course, follow his YouTube videos every single day on YouTube. If you wake up at 8 a.m. on the East Coast, if you're watching the early line with us here on Sports Grid, you can also go over to YouTube, see Josh. He reveals every day a brand new video of whatever he gets back from PSA. You could see more cards being graded by Josh than anybody else in the world. It's a phenomenal thing. As again, Saturday night, I got my Peyton Mannings all ready to go here. There's 2 rookie cards, didn't get any 10s.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
But we're happy with the nines. Will
I got a big Peyton Manning rookie card, and also
I'm sure you do. That's
I got a 1998 top BGS 10 pop too.
There you go. All right, we got to take a quick break. Josh will be with us again in a couple of weeks. I'm off next week, and then Josh will rejoin us again. We'll dive into all baseball from here on out, so that should be a lot of fun, baseball and basketball. We'll be right back here with more fantasy sports today, so make sure you stay tuned. Fantasy Reality is coming up, so don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid, SportsGrid.com, as we get ready to turn the page over to the rest of your programming the rest of the day. Golf discussion, of course, coming your way at 2 o'clock Eastern if you're watching on SportsGrid.com. In-game live tonight, lots of NBA, lots of college basketball as well, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Also, Scott Farrell coming your way going coast to coast later this afternoon. And Joe, I know that there is some big news in terms of Tom Brady. It looks like Brady is going to try to continue to play beyond the age of 45. Scary to think that Tom Brady, I'm 47. It's scary to think that Tom Brady is going to be playing at my age right now. Like, that is just a wild thought. I know that you saw that yesterday, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we make all the jokes, right? About, well, Tom Brady's going to play forever. He's not human and all of these things. But, you know, when you listen to Tom Brady on interviews and read the Tom Brady stuff that I've read over the years, it always boils down to one thing. He literally just loves to play football. And that is the thing that people just kind of, they don't get it quite enough. And they think, well, it's money, it's this, it's all. No, he just loves to play football. And I think eventually someone in his family is going to tell him, look, you need to stop doing this. I imagine as his kids get older, maybe too, that he feels like he wants to be around a little bit more to see them go play things. But if he keeps playing until he's 46, 47 years old, I don't know if that's going to be the case. But the thing that you always come back to with Tom Brady is his incredible competitive nature and his ability to sacrifice so many other things so he can keep playing the game. And that includes money, a guy who's deferred salary so many times with the Patriots. That includes time. That includes all the foods that he has deprived himself of over the last 10 years and things like that. He's just willing to take it to another level, and I think that is why he's able to do what he did. You look at these other quarterbacks who hit their 40s or somewhere around there, Peyton Manning's drop-off was substantial, right? Drew Brees, last 2 years, hasn't really been Drew Brees. I mean, we don't have a huge grouping of guys to really talk about and look at, but then there's Tom Brady, who was in the Super Bowl again, and it is absolutely stunning, Craig.
It really is. And so with the news yesterday of a possible continuation beyond 45, we do a little fantasy reality based on Brady. Joe, Tom Brady will throw a pass in an NFL game at 46 years old. Fantasy or reality?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm going to say fantasy. I think there is a limit, even for Tom Brady. And look, I could be wrong here. But I think for him, I think there's been some pressure there. And I think this was a very important chapter for him to kind of prove once and for all that it wasn't just Tom Brady system quarterback. I've had arguments with my friends, some of which were Jet fans, who always like to say the same thing to me. Tom Brady's a system quarterback. If it wasn't for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady wouldn't be anything. And that's just nonsense. So I think that he very much wanted to go out on his own and just see what it was like. And guess what? Turned out to be pretty good. He found the head coach who might be the polar opposite in terms of personality. He found a guy in a system, in an organization that's going to give him all the toys that he wanted, bring his friends over to come play on top of which, go get him extra talent. I mean, what more could you have asked for in terms of situation to be successful? And he's gotten that. And I think just getting to the Super Bowl, there's a certain, I don't say justification, but a certain acknowledgement now. It's like, okay, look, I'm Tom Brady. So if you had any quotes or ideas or any delusions that I am not – as good as you think I am. Well, guess what? You're wrong. So I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go and take a team and take them to the Super Bowl in the first year I'm there. And he did that. And he did that with another team. And we did that without Bill Belichick. So I think this run this year in particular is very important. And when you get past this, I think that will die down. And eventually, I do think no matter how much avocado ice cream he eats, that the body will eventually give out a little bit. And that's what I think we're going to see. So I think he's got another year in him for sure. After that, we'll see. But 46, I'm going to pass on that, Craig. How about you?
You know what? I think he could do it, but I don't think he'll choose to.
Yes.
I think that the point definitely was proven this year, without a doubt. And I don't think a Super Bowl win would be required to do it. And he may very well win the Super Bowl. I think it's possible. And he could get back next year and win it again, no doubt. But there does come a point where the athlete, I think, looks at it and also says, there's nothing left to accomplish. I've done it all. And at this point, Tom Brady has done it all, no matter what the outcome is. And he's got young kids. I just can't imagine him continuing beyond Tampa Bay. I did not think he would sign Tampa Bay. I did not think the Bucs would give him a 2-year contract, but they did. But I think next year is it. I think he plays another year and then is done by his own choice, would be my guess. So I will say fantasy along with you. I think at 45, which is nothing to sneeze at, I think it's a best career ever that we've ever seen for a quarterback mm-hmm. in the NFL. All right, Chris Archer re-signs with the Tampa Bay Rays. His ERA has not been below 4 in 5 years. It's been a very tough run for him in Pittsburgh. He was pretty good with Tampa Bay, all-star with Tampa Bay, but did not basically come close to what he was when he went there. Fantasy reality Joe Archer, who signed a 1-year deal with the Rays yesterday, will have an ERA below 4 in 2021.
This is a fantasy. While you were talking to our guests on the show here in the last few segments, I was looking at some more names and going through the thoracic outlet surgery. And it's just – Jay Jaffe actually wrote a blog post about it over on – I think it was Fangraphs. It was very good, talking about Phil Hughes, talking about Clayton Richard, talking about Luke Hochever. I mean, these were names of young pitchers who had so much promise and so much potential – and they had this, and they were never the same. We already talked about Matt Harvey. We talked about all these other guys. And I want Chris Archer, believe me, I want him to buck the trend. I want him to prove me wrong. I want him to go out there and be great, because it's unfortunate when you see an athlete at a younger age than they should be kind of done in the sport. It's always a terrible thing, because you know how much they've sacrificed to get there, and you know how much time and energy and effort and what they've gone and put their families through, their bodies through, everything. And you don't want to see someone's dream die. And I don't want to be, you know, dramatic here, but I can't find one good version of it. And the data can't all be wrong. And I think that's my danger. And look, an ERA under 4 would be spectacular, all things considered. I just don't think he's going to be able to get there. I give Tampa a lot of credit for bringing him back into the fold and seeing if they can figure something out. And God knows if anybody's got enough magic, it's them, right? But for me, it's going to be a hard pass in fantasy drafts, and it's an unfortunate that it's going to be a fantasy that he can keep that ERA under 4. It just doesn't seem like those guys come back with the same juice that they once had.
Yeah, I'll agree, but I'll also believe in Tampa Bay a little bit here. I'll say reality. I'll say that he does make it under 4. Maybe they turn him, Joe, into an opener. Maybe he's used as a middle reliever. The Rays always find the best in players. We've seen this over and over again. And in terms of failures from the starting pitching for the Rays, there almost are none. So I'm going to say reality here, and maybe 3.80, 3.85, somewhere along those lines. I'm going to say he gets under that, and I'm going to say that the Rays make him into something viable. I don't know what he will be at this stage, but I'll bet on them as opposed to the injury. But this would probably be the end for me. If there's no success mm-hmm. here, then obviously I can't do that. Chris Carpenter is another one with the Cardinals that really never great. Was the same. Well, okay, well, this is an interesting story here. According to ESPN, a player in the NHL was sent his, is this right? His hockey stick sent the wrong hockey stick sent it to somebody else's house, which would be a really nice surprise to open up your mailbox. I guess it would be bigger than a mailbox, but if you were to walk outside your door and to see a pair of hockey sticks, but fantasy reality, Joe, you've been shipped the wrong package. And in this day and age, with us getting so much shipped to us these days, as opposed to shopping in person, I'm sure that this is an interesting discussion. Fantasy or reality, you've been shipped the wrong package.
Just last week, I got shipped the wrong package, okay? One of my neighbors, he's of the Latin persuasion. I assume he was the soccer fan and not myself, because I got something, a Paraguay jersey. This is a true story, a Paraguay soccer jersey to my house. And I'm thinking to myself, what is this? I didn't order this. And it says my address, right? But and it says a name on there, but it's not my name, but it's my address. So I'm like, okay, but it's also not my neighbor's name. It's this other thing. It said Football Maniac. And I thought maybe somebody was playing a joke on me, haha, football, whatever. I open it up. And boom, it's a Paraguay jersey. Now, I do like the soccer. I'm more of an Italian soccer kind of guy. But, I mean, Paraguay is not the jersey I was looking for. I also, one time, and this is a true story too, I had ordered some furniture from, let's say, it rhymes with Schmayfair. And they sent me a whole other piece of furniture that I did not order. I called them up and said, hey, this is a really nice, you know, sort of, you know, I would say, you know, end table, walk-in, entryway, foyer kind of table. It was really nice. Actually matched my house. I said, but this isn't what I ordered. Oh, that's all right. Someone will contact you in a few days to pick it up. Nobody contacted me. 3 days go by, 5 days go by, seven. Guess what? I opened the sumbitch and I put it together. And now it's in my house. And that was in 2015. And it's still here. So there you go. Yes, sometimes you get the Paraguay soccer jersey. Sometimes you get a nice little table that's very accent, makes the home look a little nicer. So yeah, sometimes the good and the bad from the wrong packages do happen. But Craig Mish, I imagine in Florida, this happens all the time with you. I mean, everything's been ordered. So what's come to your house that was not supposed to be there that might still be in Craig Mish's house?
Yeah, that's a reality. Trying to think of anything interesting that's still here. I don't think so. I don't think that is the case. But I think that the most recent item, if I'm not mistaken, were candles. Just some like odd candle of some kind. We're not really candle people in the
house. Bath time.
There are candle people. You're, sure.
Yeah. Light the candles. You take a little bath. You know, I can imagine the stress of having to report all the things and the rumors. And sometimes, especially this time of year with the hot stove, you know, you set the candles, little bath salts, and Craig Mish takes a little bath and just winds down from all the hot stove with a hot bath and some candles.
No, it's definitely on my agenda. But yeah, I mean, Friday night we do because of Shabbat. But beyond that, we're not like the kind of let's just like get like all these smelling candles going. Just I don't know, just not we're not those people. So we got them, and what was interesting about it was the candles did smell so bad that we couldn't even keep them in the house.
So what was it one of those Gwyneth Paltrow candles? Like
it was just too strong. The scent was too strong. It was like smelling once you opened up the box, it's because we opened up the box to see what it was, and it just was smelling up the whole house. So then we put it in the garage. And then naturally, that's where my studio is. I built a studio in my garage, and then I couldn't even keep them in there. So then we put them outside on the front lawn because the address was like, there was no return address. It wasn't even someone in our community, but naturally someone came by and swiped them. And then that was the end of the candle story. But yeah, I mean, I'll always, every once in a while, I'll get stuff weird. I think we may have had, you know, Amazon, whatever, deliver the wrong food. I think we had that once happen too.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a fun one. Yeah. Especially for your house. I can't imagine your poor wife, because you know, she's not having that. What was the scent of the candle? Can I ask that? Like, did it have a label?
I don't remember. I don't even remember. I feel like a lavender.
They always have like names like Autumn Breeze or like
I don't even know what it was. It just was so full strong.
Foliage. I want that job. But when I retire someday from the sports world, I want the job of like naming the candles. That's the job. That's what I wanted. You know, you smell the candle and then you name the candle after it. That's what you want to do. And it's always some ethereal thing. It's like, you know, summertime stars or you know, sunset breeze. I could do this. I could sit there all day, rile these off, and make a lot of money, send people candles that they didn't even order that they're going to throw out. If you had to label the candle for the scent from what it smelled in your nose, what would you call it? And remember, we're on air.
Yeah, I would say it was like a Cam Stewart.
Candle Stewart. There you go.
Yeah. Like a Cam Stewart scent, you know? Something like that would be my guess.
Cam, just remember, right. Craig said it, not me.
I could get away with it. It's true. I'll still be here in 2 weeks. All right. Coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60 as we have our final opinion of the day as we get closer to the Super Bowl. Make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Sports Grid, Greg and Joe. Right back here tomorrow at noon Eastern. We get closer to the Super Bowl. Andrew Erickson will make his final appearance of the football season here with us. Tell him what he thinks about the game. Of course, Jim Stanis will give his DFS take a little bit later in the week. But before we get out of here today, let's turn over to Joe. He's got the Sports Grid 60. Joe, what do you got?
I'm going to say something nice about the Jets. That's right. I know you've been watching me a long time here, and oftentimes I'm very critical of the New York Jets, but they did something great today along with Nike. They are starting the first girls high school football pilot program. That's right. There's going to be a few select schools in northern New Jersey playing girls flag football in high school. And if it catches fire, they're hoping to get it to go other places. And I think that is great. And it can spread it throughout the entire state. So great job by the Jets, letting the girls play and giving them a chance. And I'll tell you what, youth football in general should continue to move in this direction. Let's take the head injuries out. Let's teach the kids the game of football a little bit more rather than who's just the biggest kid at 12 years old manhandling everybody else around the field. No. Let's teach them football. Flag football is a much better way to do that. And I give Nike and the Jets a ton of credit. This is going to be a great program. I'm sure it's going to be greatly successful. And I hope someday I can go to a game and watch my daughter play high school football.
I'm going to go to the Philadelphia Eagles here for a second. There's a report that Carson Wentz is interested, or at least I don't know if he's asked, but he's interested in being traded. You know, normally in situations like this, when you have a guy like Wentz who could potentially go to another spot and be successful, you would say, well, why is this so difficult? You should just do it. Well, I would have a little caution here to not only the team that Wentz may end up on, but the Philadelphia Eagles, who may be considering trading Carson Wentz. We're seeing quarterback movement like we never have before. Goff and Stafford have changed spots. Watson's going somewhere else. There's a chance Derek Carr is too. And with the quarterback carousel going on, I think the last thing that Wentz wants to do, and the Eagles as well, is have no spot for him this upcoming football season, except for either starting with the Eagles or maybe even being the backup. So my advice would be, if you're going to get something done with Wentz, you may want to consider it soon. Thanks again to our friends, of course, at LPN for Brett, Danny, and Ryan, and my co-host Joe. I'm Craig. See you tomorrow at noon.